I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Sarvata Panipadam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiromukham Sarvata Shrutiman Loke Sarvamavritya Tishthati. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way the super soul exists, pervading everything. Sarvendriya gunabhasam Sarvendriya vivarjitam Asaktam sarvabrichaiva Nirgunam guna bhoktrucha. The super soul is the original source of all senses. Yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature and at the same time he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charamevacha sukshmatvat tat avigneyam durastham chantike chatat. The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva chastitham bhuta bhartru cha tagneyam Grasishnu Prabha Vishnu cha. Although the super soul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all.
Jyotishamapi taj tad jyoti tamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hrudi sarvasya vishtitam.
He is a source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. His knowledge, he is the object of knowledge and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart.
Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jneyam chottam samasatah madbhakta etad vijnaya madbhava yopapadyate.
Thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature.
Hare Krishna. Last time Prabhuji discussed the last two qualities of knowledge, that is importance of self-realization and philosophical search for absolute truth. And then he discussed or he read from Consciousness, the Missing Link, the discussions Srila Prabhupada had with Dr. Benford. So what's the main highlight which you wanted to stress through these discussions? Then he discussed the three types of knowledges. Which are the three types? Yeah, Mataji? Huh? Like love.
You know, when the soul manipulates matter, he gets entangled, isn't it? He gets entangled and his suffering is increased. You know why? Because the Lord is so kind, he always wants us to lead the right path. The right path is we have to transcend matter. Like you have to give up the dead matter, you have to transcend it and go to spiritual world. But if somebody becomes too much interested in matter and starts manipulating it, then the Paramatma, then the Lord has to, you know, teach him that what you are doing is wrong. This is not what you are supposed to do. Just like if a teacher, you know, in a classroom, you know, chastises a child that is doing mischievous activity, not attentive in the class. And then she tells him, you go outside the class and kneel down. Or you stand up on the bench. Isn't it? Already he is having a punishment. And now this fellow is standing up on the bench and reading a comics book. Then the teacher will say, hey, fool. I punished you because you were not attentive in the class. Now you are standing up on the bench and you are still reading comics book. Then she will again punish him more. Isn't it? We have been sent from the spiritual world to material world because we wanted to enjoy separately. Now again, if the Lord sees that one is going too fastly in the direction of manipulating matter, then the Lord arranges the matter to punish him through Durga. So that a person will give up the wrong direction and put a break and then think, what's happening wrong? What's wrong with me? Then gradually he can transcend matter. So one should be living a lifestyle in such a way that one gradually transcends the bondage. So, in order to know what is going on in this series of verses, I mean 13 to 19, you can refer to the 19th purport, verse number 19. You see, verse number 19th purport, last but one paragraph. Prabhupada says, now to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, this is page number 663 in this book. Verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani Ahankaro, from that verse, and continuing through Chetana Dhriti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body or the field of activities. And then verses 8 through 12, that we have been reading, this process of knowledge, Amanitvam Adambitvam, through Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, describes the process of knowledge. For understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely soul and super soul. The two types of kshetrajna we studied in the beginning, right? So how to know, what is the process of knowledge, how to know these two? For that we studied amanitvam, adambitvam, all that. Then verses through 13 to 18, beginning from anadimatparam and continuing through hridi sarvasya vishtitam, describe the soul and the Supreme Lord or the Super Soul. Thus, three items have been described. The field of activity, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and Super Soul. So, beautifully Prabhupada summarizes here in this verse. So, before 8th verse, we studied about the field of activity elaborately, kshetram, nitya vidhiyate. And then after that, process of knowledge, 8 to 12. Then 13 to 19, and then jnayam, two types of jnayam, two types of knowable. One is a soul, another one is super soul. So if you see verse number 13, the name soul is explained. in the 13th verse. Then in 14th verse, he's talking about the super soul, second jnayam, Paramatma. Then in the 15th verse, he is calling the super soul as Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. He has no material senses. And he has explained in the previous verse that he has eyes, ears, head and everything, but he has no material senses. Then in 16th, he says, although the super soul is called as Jnayama, knowable, he is still Avijnayam, he says. He is not easily knowable to our material senses. One cannot, that's why Lord is called as Adokshaja. Adokshaja means one who is beyond the range of our material senses. One cannot perceive super soul easily. So, what we will understand in this series of verses, first we will understand something about the super soul. We will first understand what is the super soul. Then we can also understand how the soul is different from the super soul. It's also very important to know. Then thirdly, we will also learn how does a devotee perceive the soul and super soul? Thirdly. And fourthly, we will learn about perception or realization of the knowledge of soul and super soul. What it does, what it leads to. As here he says, taste the eternal, he says. What is the meaning of tasting the eternal? Is it like gulab jamun or halwa? Tasting the eternal. How can the knowledge of soul and super soul gives you some special kind of taste? The eternal, taste of eternity. So, these four things we will see in this series of verses. The super soul, as the name suggests, super. Super means it is not ordinary soul. There are many, many souls in this world, but as soon as it says super soul, that just as in the movies also you find man and Superman, isn't it? So Superman who acts in the movie doesn't act like others. He can do things which ordinary man cannot do, isn't it? That's why we call him a Superman, we call him, isn't it? So he can fly and we cannot fly, isn't it? He can stop a train, we can't stop a train, all that. He can jump off from a, you know, big hill, we can't jump. So when it is said super soul, naturally the super soul is much, much different from the ordinary soul. As it is explained in the Shruti Mantras also, Aniyo Raniyan, Mahato Mahiyan. It is said that a small soul, tiny soul is very infinitesimal in size. But the super soul is Mahiyan. He is very magnificent, very great. Mahato Mahiyan. He is very, very big, very great. The Lord is very great. But why the Lord manifests Himself as super soul in this world? That is all very vividly explained in the scriptures. Before understanding the value of the knowledge of super soul, we can know the super soul itself. After understanding the super soul, you will appreciate how much difference it will make in one's life to have a proper understanding of the subject matter. So, as we know, the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna does not do any work. We discussed about it before. But when the material world is created, it has to be created, then the Lord expands as Mahavishnu. He creates the material world. So there are three types of Vishnus. We have discussed before. One is Ekastam Mahatah Srishtir. He creates all the universes from his own pores of his body. So how many Mahavishnus are there? Only one. Only one Mahavishnu. Yeah. And then Dvitiyam Anda Samstitam. Who is that Vishnu? Dvitiyam Anda Samstitam. Yeah? Garbhadaksha Vishnu. How many Garbhadaksha Vishnus are there? Yeah? As many universes. And Tritiyam Sarvabhutastam, it is said. The third Vishnu occupies the heart of every living being. And he is called as a Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So in every universe, above the planetary systems, like in our universe there are 14 planetary systems. Above all of them there is a planet called as Shweta Dvipam, which is actually a spiritual planet, where the Kshirodaksha Vishnu resides. Why is called Kshira Udaka Shahi? Kshira means the milk. Kshir. Kshir Chor Gopinath. It's Kshir. So Kshira Udaka Shahi means he is lying in that ocean of milk, where all the devatas go along with Brahma sometimes to, you know, place a petition to the Lord to save them or protect them. So that Vishnu, he Tridiyam Sarvabhutastam, he expands into the heart of every living being within the universe. And he also occupies every atom. He enters into every atom. And it is said, he not only enters the atom, he is present even in the space between the atoms. So atom is the smallest unit we know. But the Lord is there inside the atom also and space between the atom also. Which means there is no place where he is not there, according to the description given in the scriptures. So this is called a super soul. And what is his form? Is Vishnu, as I said, Kshirodaksha Vishnu. So in the Vishnu Sahasranam we sing a prayer where we offer prayers to this Vishnu. What is the first verse? Vishvam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Krit Bhuta Bhridbhavo Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana Bhutatma Paramatma Chant Muktanam Paramagati Abhyaya Purushasakshi Kshetra Gnyokshara Vacha, isn't it? So there we sing about the Paramatma. And same Paramatma we also sing in another prayer. So when you say Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam, Bhujagashayanam is, you know, serpent bed. Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham. Who is this Vishnu? Huh? Yeah? Who is saying Shirdakshayi? No. Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Somebody is saying Sheshashayi Vishnu. That's correct, yeah. Anybody is lying in Sheshashayi only, yeah. But this is called as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, from whose navel comes the lotus and in which Brahma is born. So it's Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Shantakara Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Sura Isham Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham Meghavaranam Shubha Angam. Yes, transcendental limbs. And then it says, Lakshmi Kantam Kamala Nayanam Yogihrit Dhyana Gamyam. Who is that? Who is this Vishnu? Yogihrit Dhyana Gamyam. This is Paramatma. This is Super Soul. Because Yogi is Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino. Who is that Vishnu? Paramatma. Is it difficult for anyone to understand this? See, as soon as you talk about meditating within the heart, then you have to know that this is Kshirodaksha Vishnu. As soon as you hear of somebody like Pankaj Nabi, from whose Nabi comes Pankaj, you have to know it is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Yeah. These two Vishnus are often referred. So he says, Lakshmi Kantam Kamala Nayanam Yogihra Dhyana Gamyam Vande Vishnu Bhavavayaharam Sarvalokekanatham. Yeah. So, the Lord as Super Soul resides in the heart of every living being. If you read the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very vivid description about Narada Muni explaining about the Super Soul. The yogis who meditate on the Super Soul, beginning from the feet, in the lotus feet of the Lord, then the calf, then the knees, then the thigh, then the navel, then the chest of the Lord, with its Kaustubha Mani and the Srivatsa Chinha. Then they meditate on the limbs of the hands of the body of the Lord. Then when they come to the chakra in the Lord's hand, they meditate on every one of the thousand spokes. Every single spoke they meditate on. And then Shankh also, Shankh Chakra, they meditate on all these things. Then they come to the neck of the Lord, where there are three lines like a conch. And then they see the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. And there also a very vivid description, very fine description is given. You will read that. Both you will read in Kapila's section also, in Narada Muni section also, describing about Super Soul. How the yogis meditate on the Super Soul in the heart. So, this is a kind of trance or samadhi in which a yogi completely focuses on the form of the Super Soul. Like to what extent of detail they meditate upon. Like they meditate upon the... There is one of the three verses I can tell, and that was... संहरे रवनता किल लोक तीव्र शोकाश्रु सागर विशोषण अत्युदारम सम्मोहनाय रचितम निजमाय यास्य भ्रूमंडलम मुनि कृते मकरध्वजस्य. दिस वर्स सेज हासम. हासम मीन्स द मंदहास और द मुस्कान और द स्माइल ऑफ द लॉर्ड. वन शुड मेडिटेट ऑन दट स्माइल ऑफ द सुपर सोल. इज हासम हरेर. हरेर मीन्स लॉर्ड हरीज स्माइल. हासम हरेर अवनत अखिल लोक तीव्र शोक अश्रु सागर. इन दिस वर्ल्ड पीपल आर हैविंग सो मच शोक. इट्स लाइक अश्रु सागर इज कमिंग फ्रॉम द राइज. अश्रु सागर शोक अश्रु सागर विशोषण अत्युदारम. द मेडिटेशन अपॉन द स्माइल ऑफ द सुपर सोल ड्राइज अप द टीयर्स कमिंग फ्रॉम द आईज ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटीज. मेडिटेशन ऑन द स्माइल ऑफ द लॉर्ड शोकाश्रु सागर विशोषण अत्युदारम. Not only that, sammohanaya. Mohana means to allure. And who does that alluring part? Rati and Manmadan. Madan and Rati. They attract all the conditioned souls by makaradvaja. They have a makaradvaja, no? The particular kind of... They use a sugarcane bough to send flower arrows in the heart of living entities and allure them to become lusty. So he says, sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya. So the Lord, by his brumandal, what is brumandal? This is brumandal. This portion is called brumandal. So he says, Lord's brumandalam is so beautiful that one meditates on the eyebrows. You call it eyebrows? Yeah, meditate on the eyebrows of the Lord, then one's attraction that is created by Kamadev can be eradicated. He says that. For the good of the sages, he says, for the good of the sages, the Lord's eyebrows are very beautiful. And they also look like a bow, arched bow. Actually in the Shastras are so vivid. Like, you know, it is said, there is another verse Kapila says, Balam me pasya mayaya srimaya jayino disham yatarauti padakrantan bruvi jrimbena kevalam. In this verse, Kapila says that a person may be a king of the whole universe, or may be king of the whole world, but a beautiful woman with her eyebrows, by simply moving them slightly, she can immediately subjugate him and make him fall at her feet. He says, that's the power of the beauty of a woman, especially the eyebrows, it is said. But the Lord's eyebrows are so beautiful, even the attraction to the beauty of such a woman can be surpassed when the yogi meditates on the beautiful eyebrows of the Lord. That's the meaning of sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya. Basically, it's not only man's attraction for woman, man's attraction for woman, woman's attraction for man. Basically, the lust can be eradicated by meditating on the super soul's eyebrows. Then he also says another verse. He says, यक्षीनिकेतालिभि परिसेव्यमानं भूत्या स्वया कुटिल कुंडल वृंदजुष्टं मीनद्वयाश्रयमधिक्षिपदब्जनेत्रं ध्यायेन मनोमयमतंद्रित उल्लसद्भ्रू. In this verse he says, it's a very beautiful metaphor is given here. In this verse, here he says, the Lord's curly locks of blackish hair are compared to some swarming bumblebees on the top of a beautiful lotus flower in a river. In a river, sometimes you find a beautiful lotus, on the top you find, the big brahmar, bumblebees. So Lord feels like a lotus and his hair, curly locks of hair are like bumblebees, which are serving on the top of the flower. And then it says, meenad dvayam, meenad, he says, yachini ket alibi parisevyamanam bhutya svaya kutila kundala vrindajushtam meena dvaya kshipadab janetram. Two eyes of the Lord are compared to two meen, are like two fishes playing in that water. What he says is, the two fishes along with the beautiful lotus and a swarm of humming bees, all this will be put to shame in front of the beautiful face of the super soul, he says. So in another verse, the concluding verse of this, he says, again about the Super Soul, he says, Such a supersoul one should meditate upon. He says, Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladaroshta. Dhyanayanam means one should meditate upon. Dhyanayanam prahasitam. Again he talks about the hasitam, means smile. Prahasitam bahuladaroshta. Oshta means the ont, or the lips of the Lord.
Bhasarunayitatanu dvijakunda pankti.
The series of teeth that are very nicely sequentially placed in the Lord's mouth, it's like a group of jasmine buds placed one after another. You've seen sometimes small jasmine buds, they place them together. Sometimes they make very fine garland for the Lord. You've seen that? They place in a series very nicely. So Lord's teeth are like that, very fine teeth. Bhasarunaya means the Lord's lips are rosy and the teeth is also rendered rosy because it is reflecting on the teeth. The teeth are white, but the rosy lips of the Lord are reflecting on the teeth. Similarly, he says, Bhasaruna itatanu dujagunda pankti. Dhyayet, one should meditate upon. Swadeha kuhare, in the heart of every individual soul. Swadeha kuhare. Swade means our own heart. Kuhare means the heart. Dhyayet, swadeha kuhare, vasitasya vishnor. Vasitasya means is vasa, means to live. He is living in your heart. Dhyayet swadeha kuhare vasitasya vishnor bhaktyardrayar pitamana napritadidrikshet. He says bhaktyardraya means with great overwhelming intense devotion one should meditate upon that super soul. Napritadidrikshet, one should not look in any other direction in this material world and get entangled. One should simply meditate on that beautiful super soul, he says. So Lord wears a beautiful Makara Kundala. You know Makara Kundala? Makara Kundala is like, even Vithal wears the same, I heard. Is it true? Vithal also, you sing one, what is that Marathi song you sing, Makara? What is that? Makara Kundala? Talapatham. Yeah, you know that, right? Makara means like a fish, shark, shark-shaped earrings. Same thing is said, Super Soul is wearing also. Because he's the same Lord Krishna or Vishnu, he wears a makara, very beautiful shark-shaped earrings. And the Lord's cheeks are so shiny that this makara, this earrings, long earrings are seen on the cheeks of the Lord. It's like a glass, like a mirror reflection. It's seen like that in the Lord's beautiful. And the Lord is wearing a beautiful kasturi tilakam. Kasturi tilakam lala kapatale. You know, we sing a song. So he wears the Kaustubha jewel, he has the Sivacha Chinha, he wears the beautiful Vaijayanti mala. And all these descriptions are very vividly given. So yogi should meditate upon this kind of form of the super soul. So Narada Muni also gives description to Dhruva Maharaj, how to meditate on the super soul. And Kapila gives similar description to his mother Devahuti also. So this is the Lord's super soul. Now we become attracted to the beauties of this world. That's material nature is so attractive, but this beauty is originating from the Lord's beauty. So one can get a glimpse of this beauty of the super soul, and one will not be attracted to the false beauties of this material world. So the yogi intently concentrates, beginning from yama, niyama, pranayama. The first four, yama, niyama, pranayama, pratyahar, these four are done to overcome the negativities. Like, you know, do's and don'ts, and then do asanas to control the body and senses, and do the pranayama to control the mind. When all these are done, then you do pratyahar, you know, shut the senses, don't give any food to the senses, I mean, eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin and all that. And then one goes to the, after pratyahara, one goes to dharana, then dhyana, one goes higher after that. Pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Then one can meditate and focus his attention on the super soul. And what happens the time that we will discuss in the fourth section I was saying. When one focuses like that intently on the super soul and realizes the super soul, then what happens to that person? That is also explained in the scripture. But it's not in one place, but in several places this is mentioned, that the Lord is seated in the heart of the super soul. Like Lord says, Hridadeshe Arjuna Tishtati, isn't it? Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridadeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Arjuna, I am seated in the heart of everyone as super soul, in the Hridadeshe, in the region of the heart. I am seated, the Lord says. Another place is Sarvasya Chaham Kridhanivishtaha Mattaha Smitaryanam Apohanamcha. So Lord says in many places that he is seated in the heart. Now some people in India, they have come up with a concocted philosophy that because the Lord says he is seated in the heart, the Lord and the soul are same, they are saying. The super soul and soul, they both, you know, are ultimately one only. That is the understanding some people have in India. Atmaso Paramatma. This is their slogan. Nowhere in scriptures you will find this statement, Atmaso Paramatma. It's a concocted version of people. So, Shastras clearly declare that just as there are two birds sitting in a tree, this example is very important to quote. Samane Vriksho, Samane Vrikshe, what is it was? Purusho Nimagno, Anishe Shoshati Mukhyamanaha, that is the verse. Samane Vrikshe, Purusho Nimagno means, and there is a branch of a tree in which two birds are sitting. One is a soul, and one is a super soul. Clearly it's mentioned. Two birds. One bird is a fruit-eating bird. Sometimes eats sweet fruits and enjoys. Sometimes eats bitter fruits and suffers. But the other bird is a silent bird. He's just watching his activities. So, it's very important not to become confused by this bogus philosophy of calling the soul, super soul, as the soul itself. Such people have a new slogan which they have themselves coined, called as Daridra Narayan Seva. There are some organizations which say, we do Daridra Narayan Seva. So Prabhupada comments about them in his purports in many places. If you ask them, what is this Daridra Narayan Seva? They say, now Narayana has occupied the body, now he has become embodied now. All of us are, they say all of us are Narayanas. And now he has become Daridra. Why? He has become a dog, or he has become a child in the slum. So all are Daridra Narayans and we are serving them. Prabhupada used to become very heavy and angry when he would hear this. He said, who is Daridra? You are Daridra, Prabhupada would say. Narayan will never become Daridra. Narayan is always served in his lotus feet by Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmiji. He will never become Daridra. Only the condition living in it is Daridra. Isn't it? He has only invited inauspiciousness in his life. Lord never becomes Daridra, ever. And these people are saying, Lord is Daridra Narayan and we are serving him. Can you imagine? See, in one purport, Prabhupada says, see here, Prabhupada saying, this is text number 14 purport, if you see. See, text number 14, purport, fourth line. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands and eyes and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the super soul. Therefore, the super soul is all pervading. The individual soul, however, cannot say that he has his hands, legs and eyes everywhere. That is not possible. If he thinks that under ignorance, he is not conscious that his hands and legs are diffused all over, but when he attains to proper knowledge, he will come to that stage, his thinking is contradictory. You understand what is Prabhupada's argument? Prabhupada is saying, sometimes some people say, actually we are all super souls. Now we have become forgotten. Why? Actually my hands are everywhere, legs are everywhere, my eyes are everywhere. But now I have become covered over by this material body. That's why I am not able to realize. Once I become a liberated soul, then what will happen to me? Then I will realize that I am God. I am that super soul. Some people say like that. See, that's what Prabhupada is saying here. If he thinks that under ignorance, he is not conscious of his being the super soul, then Prabhupada is saying, such thinking is also contradictory. Why? This means that the individual soul, having become conditioned by material nature, is not supreme. Either way, he is defeated. He cannot now say that, now I am super soul. He can demand that, are your hands, legs everywhere? Okay, now I am super soul, but I am covered over by body, so I don't realize that. After liberation, I will realize that I am super soul, now I am bound. That means Maya is better than you. Isn't it? So either way we can prove. If they go this way, you can attack. If they go that way, you can attack. Both ways. So, both ways it can be proved that the soul cannot be equal to the super soul. That's why in that series of verses we also see, Kshetrajnam cha apimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. The word, one word cha can make such a big difference. kshetrajnam cha abhimam. Cha means what? I am also. For example, somebody says, you ask him, so that fellow tells you that I am also going in the car, if he says. What is the meaning? Huh? Somebody else is also there, isn't it? Will any of you say you go in the car alone, you are driving the car. I am also driving the car. Does it make any meaning? It doesn't make any sense, isn't it? See, Krishna said, idam shariram kaunteya kshetram ityabhidhiyate. And then he said, evam yogeti tamprahu kshetrajnam iti tadvidaha. Finished. First he has spoken about the soul. What he says? Idam shariram kaunteya. My dear Arjuna, this body is the field. Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram. And it is called as kshetra, field, he says. Kshetram iti abhidhiyate. And then he says, evam yogeti tamprahu. One who is the knower of this field, he is called as kshetrajnam iti tadvidaha. He is called as kshetrajnam. And then next verse says, kshetrajnam cha api maam vidhi, he says. I am also a Kshetrajna Arjuna, not only you. Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata, what is the difference? I am in all the Kshetras I am sitting. Whereas the individual Kshetrajnas are sitting only in the individual bodies. Whereas I am sitting in all the bodies. This is the speciality of the super soul. Just like in a country, a king is the proprietor of all the lands. Isn't it? Whereas every farmer is proprietor of his own land. So we are all like the individual farmers. So we are all tiny secondary proprietor of this only body. Whereas Lord is the proprietor of all the bodies. So in this way, the soul and super soul difference is very nicely explained. And it is very important, there is another argument about the super soul to be understood. Some people think the super soul is impersonal. Like there is one organization which meditates on red light. They put a red light and all people sit in a dark room and focus on the red light. So it's just an impersonal light. They meditate like that. So some people think in the heart there is some hollow, and in that hollow there is some light existing. That is God or super soul. No. Super soul has a form. As we were saying earlier, Sashanka Chakram, Sakirita Kundalam, Sapita Vastram, Sarasiru Hekshanam, Sahara Vakshastala Shobi Kaustubam, Namami Vishnum, Shirasha Chaturbhujam. So this is the form of the super soul. The Lord has a beautiful form with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. If you see our book, Life Comes from Life, in that inside an atom, in the center of the super soul is drawn beautifully. So Lord is conscious. Yena chetete vishwam, vishwam chetete nayam. In Bhagavatam also it is explained. Lord is fully conscious of everything in the world situated as a super soul. And he is conscious of every movement of the living entity, every activity of the living entity. He is a person. He's a conscious person. Not like some light in the sky. That is another. That's why such people who say super soul is light in the sky, they think he has no senses also. He has no hands, he has no legs. Sometimes they quote the Shruti mantra saying that, you know, they say apani padam. Apani means one who has no hand. That is one verse. Apani pado. What is it was? Actually, I will check whether I can get it immediately. There's a beautiful verse, Prabhupada quotes. Apani pado grihito javano. Like that, there's a verse. Which means, the Lord has no hands, but he grasps the food that we give him and he eats. The Lord has no legs, but he can very easily approach the devotee who is calling his name, even from very far away. There is one verse like that. So they quote this verse and say, why this verse says apani? Means Lord has no hands and no legs. So Prabhupada explains, it's very important for people who are absorbed in material sense gratification to first negate the material form and then establish the positive spiritual form. Because as soon as you say Krishna is a person, immediately we may tend to think of him also to be an ordinary person like you and me. Lord's body, that's why Ishopanishad takes so much trouble to explain. Lord's body has no veins, there is no blood flowing inside Lord's body, there are no bones, Lord will never get a fracture. Isn't it? Lord can jump from the top of the mountain. How many miles he jumped? Anybody knows Krishna Balaram? 88 miles. My Lord, can you imagine 88 miles? If you jump from this fourth floor down, you know, we'll break our legs. Lord is jumping 88 miles, but there is no... You know, Puranas don't talk of any fracture Krishna had in You know, they put any bandage or something, isn't it? Isn't it? Uh-huh. This is the Lord's body. It has no bones, it has no veins. There's no blood flowing in his body, no flesh. The whole body is one pure spiritual substance, Sachidananda Vigraha. That's why the Shastras, on one hand, explain that Lord doesn't have a material form. Try to understand that first. And then the spiritual form is explained, like Sarvada Pani. See, if the Paramatma did not have a form, then why should the Lord say, very specifically say, Sarvada Pani, Padam, everywhere are my hands and my legs. Padam, that Sarvato Akshi, my eyes are everywhere. Shiro, my head is everywhere. Mukham, my face is everywhere. Sarvata Shrutiman Loke, my ears are everywhere. Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. I am pervading everywhere. How? In this form. See, that's very important. See, why should the Lord stress so much on the different limbs of his body? If the Lord didn't have a form, he has to have a form. Otherwise, he won't talk about the eyes and face and head and hands and legs and all that. He can just say in one sentence, my dear Arjuna, I am impersonal nature and in the impersonal way I am pervading everything. He can say like that. Clearly, he is mentioning about eyes, ears and everything. So, these misconceptions should be cleared when you talk about super soul. Super soul is not formless. The super soul has a beautiful Vishnu form. That's the first thing. Second thing we said, the super soul is situated in all the bodies, whereas the individual soul is only an individual body. So, now till now we understood about what the super soul is. Now we can understand the differences between the individual soul and the super soul. Little bit I explained just now. The individual soul, for example, our awareness or knowledge is only within our own field. Like for example, if you are proprietor of this house, you only know people inside the house and you only know the things inside the home. You don't know about your neighbor. You have no knowledge of the other people. Just like for example, if I have a hunger in my stomach, only I will know. You will not know it. And we cannot know who are all hungry now for prasadam now, isn't it? We cannot know. Only the individuals will know. So we are aware of only our bodies, whereas super soul is aware of every body. That's one of the first differences. It is said the whole universe is like the Lord's body. Just like, you know, in any part of my body I get the itching sensation, my hand goes and I scratch there. Similarly, anything happening in any part of the universe, the super soul knows. Anywhere. That is the kind of awareness he has. The very first verse of the Bhagavatam says that, isn't it? Janmadhyasayata anbayat itaratash chartesh abhigya swarat. Abhigya means all knowing. And it says, janmadhyasayata anbayat itaratah. Which means internally, externally, directly, indirectly, in all possible ways the super soul knows. Everything in the universe. There is nothing that is not known to him. I once heard a very famous phrase that the Lord knows, the Lord can see a black ant on a dark stone on an Amavasya night. On Amavasya night, how difficult it is to see anything. And on that Amavasya night, imagine there is a black stone, completely black, pitch dark stone. And there is a black ant. How many of us can see? Isn't it? So even if somebody is coming in the road on Amavasya night, even if they are laughing, their teeth is seen, you will only see something shining, you will go and bump on them. Isn't it? You cannot see a person walking in front of you. But Lord can see even a small ant on a dark sun on a dark night. He can see that. Such is the awareness of the super soul. So just as you keep a jasmine flower in that room, you can get the smell here. Like that the Lord can smell the desires of the living being so powerfully. His awareness is very great. But our awareness is very, very limited. For example, say, America and Iran have a war. Now America wants to know what is Iran preparing or what are they planning. What they do? They have to send their spies and go in, you know, they have to go and find out details and everything. Sometimes they may be caught and they may be killed also. But Lord does not have to take any trouble like that to know about what's happening where. He knows everything, the awareness. Similarly, Krishna also says to Arjuna in the 4th chapter that Arjuna, living entities by nature are forgetful. But I am not forgetful. You see, you and I have been born so many times. We have come together in so many avatars. Like in Naranarayan Rishi, they are Krishna Arjuna only. Again they are coming as Krishna and Arjuna. They are coming. But Arjuna had totally forgotten. He only remembered this life. But Lord remembers all those previous lives in which he comes with his devotee. बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव जार्जन तान यहम वेद सर्वाणि आई नो ऑल ऑफ दम इज इज नत्वम वेत माम तु वेदन व्हाट इज इज नत्वम वेत परंतप नत्वम वेत परंतप यू कैन नॉट नो दम इज इज सो इन दिस वे दैट्स अनदर मेन डिफरेंस बिटवीन द सोल एंड सुपर सोल लाइक फॉर एग्जांपल आई हैव फॉरगॉटन माय प्रीवियस लाइफ एंड व्हाट बॉडी आई वाज एंड आई डोंट नो व्हाट फ्यूचर बॉडी आई विल गेट एंड we totally forget what is the previous life, we forget even millions of lives which have led. But the super soul has such a remembrance. It's a, what do you call it? Unerasable remembrance, yes. It's like a supercomputer that never crashes. It's like a supercomputer which never gets virus. It's ever efficient, always. Indestructible. It's an indestructible hard disk, yes, memory. And he carries it life after like millions of lives, you know. You heard the story of you know, this Dasharath killing those 50 birds, you know. It took him 50 lifetimes to get punya, to accumulate, to get 50 children. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100 children. You know, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, I'm sorry. Yeah, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, it took him several lifetimes to get those 100 children. Mm-hmm. But he had actually killed those birds many, many lifetimes ago. And now the Lord at the right time, the super soul is waiting to give him the punishment. So all your 100 sons will be killed in the war. Why? Because you killed those birds. Who will now keep a track record, you know, of so many lifetimes? Who can remember? Only super soul can remember. That is his power. He can remember that. Sometimes, you know, we scold someone that I'm going to punish you and you forget later. Even in this life only. Even after a few days you forget. But Lord remembers, he doesn't forget. Reward and punishment, both. He keeps a unerasable record. Nobody can. Sometimes even in jail they keep some records. Sometimes during fire accident everything is burnt off. Records. But the super soul's record nobody can burn because it's ultimate. Nobody can escape it. So the Lord never forgets like the conditioned soul forgets. That's one main difference also. And the Lord actually says also that I give the forgetfulness to the living entity when he wants it. When he wants to forget me, then I give him the shakti to forget me. So that, you know, some people consider Krishna a disturbance in their life. So they don't want. Sometimes you go to some house to do kirtan, you know, the husband and son, they will run away. They will not come. Only the ladies will be sitting to, you know, join the kirtans. Because they consider Krishna, you know, interference, a big disturbance in their life. The Lord says, okay, you don't want me? Okay, I won't disturb you. You do whatever you want. You have your program, no problem. In fact, the super soul, he guides the living entity to go ahead with his sense gratification program. And he gives him methods and ways and means. Even so much so to the extent that if a scientist is breaking his head, splitting his hair, to find out atheistic theory, to show the world that everything came from a Big Bang, the super soul also awards him, take this Big Bang theory. Lord also gives him. Yeah, this is the nature of the super soul. So he just awards facility for the living entity to enjoy separate from Krishna by giving him forgetfulness. Is it not very amazing? Now somebody may say, why should the Lord give me forgetfulness? Is it not cruelty to me? Is Lord not hard-hearted? No. Lord is neither hard-hearted nor cruel. Lord is the most merciful and most kind. And he knows what is actually fit for everyone. If somebody wants to enjoy separate from me, let them enjoy, let them endeavor to enjoy and come to learn their own lesson that I cannot enjoy separately. And then they will turn to me and at that time I will give them knowledge. You understand, no? So the super soul, Mattaha Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, he says. From me comes the smriti, the remembrance. Jnanam means the knowledge and apohanam means the forgetfulness. Even the remembrance also, Lord gives the remembrance at the right time. Every time we take on a new body, we don't even know. Like, you know, when we were born, our eyes were closed. When we open the eyes, we don't even know where we are born, what we have to do, what were our desires in the previous life. We don't even remember them. But the super soul keeps record of everything and the Lord reminds, see, these were the desires you had. Now you enjoy them. He takes us to different facility to enjoy by giving us the smriti. In fact, even our ability to sleep in the night and to wake up in the morning is awarded by the super soul. Like for example, you you know, if any of you have insomnia, you can understand the value of sleep. You know, if you cannot, there are some people who weep that they cannot sleep. Whole night they are awake. So the super soul switches off your system and you go to sleep. And then morning it switches on. You get up and you have to rush to office. And also the soul, we know we are the soul. But how do we know that I am in the body of Radhesham, you know, Radhesham Das, and I am a man, you know, all these things, how do I know? It's the super soul only who reminds me. Now, although you are soul, currently you are in this body now, you know. You have this body and this is your temporary identity. So all this remembrance is given to the super soul only. It's very amazing. The soul actually cannot enjoy also independently. He needs the super soul to escort him from one body to another, to go from one species to another species, and the Lord will keep guiding him. Prabhupada gives a beautiful example in one lecture. He says, sometimes you have seen a master carrying a leash of a dog, you know, he takes him in the morning for a walk. And the dog, you know, he pulls the leash and sometimes he goes to eat some bones, sometimes eat some garbage. And the master also allows him, go here, go there, allows him like that. So the Lord is like the super soul who is having a leash in his hand, and you know, and we are like the soul, the dog who is wandering, sometimes eating good things, sometimes eating bad things. Prabhupada is a very nice example. And also, Prabhupada gives another example also. Like a father taking a child to the park. Sometimes the father takes a child to the park and says, okay, now you play now. When he goes to play, sometimes he's coming in that slide, you know, it's a very enjoyable experience. You climb up and then you come down. Very beautiful experience. Climb up and you come down. So you're enjoying, isn't it? You enjoy it? Yeah, very much. But sometimes the child, you know, he goes and sits in a seesaw. There is no one on the other side and he doesn't know what. First time most of the children commit that mistake, isn't it? They see this handle, oh, it's a nice place to sit. They try to climb on the top and they sit there, they break their back, isn't it? Then they cry. So, Prabhupada gives these examples to explain how the living entity in this world tries to enjoy something, but then that proves to be a suffering for him. And he tries this, he tries that. In this way, the living entity tries in different things in the material world. Sometimes he tries enjoyment, he gets it, and he thinks, oh, now I have got the formula for enjoyment. And then he keeps trying it there, what happens? Then with the very same thing which gave him enjoyment before, gives him suffering now. Then he feels defeated. And this is the super soul escorts him from one body to another in so many millions of lifetimes. And the conditioned soul is insignificant. And the Lord is most mature. Some of the super soul's qualities, if you hear, it will be heart melting. Some of the qualities of super soul explained in Bhagavatam. This is explained by Gajendra. Gajendra's prayers. One of the verses he says, Nama Atma Pradipaya Sakshine Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasaschetasamapi. He says, Nama Atma Pradipaya means, oh my dear Lord, who is self effulgent, he is saying. Like the sun can be seen only when the sun rises in the east. No other light can you see the sun. Similarly, the super soul can be realized and understood only when the Lord manifests himself in the heart of a devotee by seeing the sincerity of the devotee. When a devotee is sincere, then the Lord manifests himself. So he says that, my dear Lord, you are manifest in the heart of sincere souls. And also he says, many interesting adjectives he says. He says, Madhrik Prapanna Pashpashi Mokshanaya Muktaya. The super soul is always on a liberated platform. Bhuri Karunaya, he is most merciful. You see, Krishna is called as the most powerful, isn't it? Although he is the most powerful, he does not use his strength to torture the living entities. He doesn't do that. Generally, people who have the power, they want to, you know, show their power, exhibit their power by troubling someone. The Lord is the most powerful. If you want to torture us, you can easily torture, but he doesn't torture the living entities. He is always eager to, you know, bring the living entity back to Godhead. That is why it is said, even when the Lord creates this material world, he does so. He creates the material world very reluctantly. The Lord creates it, understanding that the living entity wants to enjoy separately. Actually, it's not the will of the Lord to see the suffering of the living entity at all. Lord actually, very, it's a very painful experience for the Lord's heart to see the living entity trying to struggle in this tabernacle of material conditioned consciousness. That's why he says, Bhuri Karunaya is most merciful. What he does, he sends the living entity to the material world, but he does not allow him to wander in wilderness. What he does? He himself comes as Paramatma. And he accompanies him, escorts him like a servant. Like sometimes parents send a servant to the school, you know, along with their child, isn't it? Take my child to the school. So the Lord has expanded as Paramatma and is coming in this material world with us. And he comes in various forms, you know. He sends the Vedic literatures, the Puranas, the Itihasas, Upanishads, Vedas and everything. And the Lord sends also the, Lord comes as avatar, in the holy sthalas, he manifests himself. He comes with the holy books, he comes with the holy name, he comes as holy prasad, he comes as the holy devotees, he comes as holy rivers. So he sends all these different agents to envelop the living entity and cover, engulf him with his mercy and uplift him with all these things and bring him back to the spiritual world. You can see the Lord's kindness very much. Bhuri Karunaya. Namolayaya means the Lord never gets tired in delivering the living entity. Even a mother or father may get tired, with a child who is very naughty. The Lord never gets tired in making the living entity return back to him. The reason is very simple. Why? The Lord doesn't consider anyone his enemy, or he doesn't feel any revenge towards anyone. The Lord always feels that the living entities are my own parts and parcels. If I don't deliver them, then who will deliver? So the Lord actually is very merciful. Yes, sir. Yeah. Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolaya Swamshena Sarva Tarubran Manasit Pratita Pratyak Drishe Bhagavate Bhate Namaste. Very beautiful verse. So, if you read Vishnu Sahasranam also again, there are so many words which describe the qualities of the Lord, about His nature. How the Lord can be very easily satisfied with simply a patram pushpa palamatvayam, as the Lord explains. It's very, He's the most easy to please. Unlike the people of this world who demand so many things from us in order to get pleased. And even after offering all of them, they will not be pleased with us in this world. That's why the Lord as a super soul does a very great job of delivering the living entity by enlightening his heart with knowledge. As he himself says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Tesha, all of you repeat this verse, Tesha mevanu kampartham aham ajnana jamtamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana dhipena bhasvata. Dwelling as the super soul in the hearts of the living entities, the Lord lifts up the heart of the soul with the transcendental knowledge. He lifts up the heart. The darkness is dispelled by that. Nashayami atma bhavastu jnana deepena bhasvata. He lifts up the torchlight of knowledge in the heart. And once that knowledge awakens in the heart of a devotee, then the devotee becomes convinced that there is no happiness anywhere in this world other than at the feet of the Lord. One becomes completely convinced. So, this is actually the relationship between the soul and the super soul, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures also, Bhagavatam. So the other two we will see next week. What's the third one I said we will discuss? How a devotee perceives the soul and super soul, And the fourth one? As Prabhupada explains here, the knowledge of the soul and super soul will help one to taste the eternal existence, he says. So these things we will see in the next class. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki? No, for example, certain things in a body you can see with your own eyes and you can know also. For example, you can see with your eyes, you can say this is a vati, you can see that with your eyes. It's easily understandable to you. Now there are some things which you even see with your eyes, which are in your body, but you are unable to be aware of it. For example, if somebody asks you how many hairs you have on your head, isn't it? You will not know. It's your own body. It's a, like the nail is growing, for example, how the nail is growing? Why some portion is, you know, causing pain, the other person becomes dead, and it keeps growing, isn't it? Or if somebody asks you why this hair is growing long, you have to time shave up or you have to cut it, and this hair doesn't grow. You know, it grows only this much, isn't it? Of course, now we can go into, you know, like if people go into biology, zoology, botany, if they go into that, they will say there are some hormones which don't allow them to grow beyond this or something, you know. And they may say, some reasons you can say, but then, you know, why not that hormones exist here also, you know. See, there are many things we don't know about the body. Our awareness is very, very limited about our own bodies. We don't know. Sometimes when you are in 10th standard, you know, they ask you, is there any chinha in your body, you know, any particular kind of, what do you call it? Even that time people have to search their bodies, you know. They have to go to their parents and ask. Parents will tell you that, you know, they gave you one injection, you have a mark or something, or you have a mole here. Isn't it? Our own body we don't know. You see, that's our limited awareness. Lord is aware of everything. That's why when we say Lord's eyes are everywhere, what is the meaning? A Lord can see everywhere simultaneously. No. That's the meaning of Lord can see everywhere at the same time. That's the power of His eyes. No, for us it's indirect. For Him there is nothing indirect. From our point of view. We don't know how it digests. Prabhupada gives that example, yeah. Like we put food in the mouth, we don't know how it digests because you can't see it. But Lord can see that also. He can see everything. Basically, it's millions of dimensions, you can say. Lord's eyes are the degree. Yeah. How is it you are asking? He is asking, forgetfulness given to a newborn child is a boon to the child. How is it he is asking? Actually, inside the womb, the child is having good remembrance. You know, when he is born, when he comes out, you know, because the so much such a high pressure is exhibited on the head of the child, and when he comes out, it's a traumatic experience for him. You know, when the child comes out, he totally forgets and he cries under the spell of Maya. It is said. So, if you are remembering all the you know, adversities we underwent in the previous lives, it's certainly like a very dangerous situation for us, isn't it? Imagine, you know, you like somebody was a cow in some lifetime and they were taken to the slaughterhouse and they were mercilessly butchered. Who will want to remember that? Or somebody died in a ghastly car accident in the middle of the road. If you remember all those things, you know, then one will not even one cannot even go ahead doing any activity. You know, one will want to just. Just like, you know, if somebody has died in someone's home, you know, you go and call him for a movie, do you think he can come? He cannot come because of the moroseness. So the living entity will become totally morose, thinking of his previous lives, now I can't do any activity. And Lord doesn't want to make him inactive. Lord wants him to, you know, fulfill all his desires and get it all done with all his desires. Finish off your material desires and then you come back to me, you know. So Lord wants to give him an opportunity. So Lord makes him feel that this life is a fresh life. It feels like that. Of course, we all were feeling when we were born now, this life is a new life, fresh life. But then if you are sincere, at a particular point of time, you will get Bhagavad Gita, you will get devotees, you hear from them. Then you understand what is this life, punaha punaha, charvita charvanana. It is simply old wine in a new bottle. That's all, nothing new. You know, in a dog's body, we did the same thing. In a cat's body, the same thing. Cockroach's body, same thing. Bird's body, aquatic body, every body is something, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Again and again, same activity. Now only the body shape is different now. World wine in a new bottle. Puna puna charvita charvananam. Easily understand it. Yeah. So, next class when we discuss more, we will see how amazing it is that the Lord cannot be conquered by any trick or by intelligence or by any other means in this world. The only factor that can attract the Lord is the sincerity of the individual soul. Lord says, you know, you don't even have to go in search of a guru, Lord says. You just become sincere. You sincerely pray. Even if you don't know, even if you are in the middle of Congo forest, you know, you are praying. Oh, my dear God, who are you? Why did you create this world? Why am I suffering? You know, what is the meaning of life? What is the goal of life? You will see God will arrange something for you. Like for example, there was one man who left his home and everything, and he wanted to become a yogi, you know. So he went to, actually I don't remember all these places of city, in some particular city. He left the city and he went into the jungle woods, you know. So in the top of a mountain, it was a greeny mountain, you know, greenish mountain. Lot of trees and plants were there in the mountain. The top of the mountain he had made a shack, you know, with cardboard shack kind of thing. Because he wanted to keep himself aloof from animals, birds and disturbance and all. So there was like a kutir for him. He was sitting, he had learned some eastern meditative practices, yogic practices. So he was doing some yogasanas there. And he had made up his mind that entire life he will spend there. Simply doing yoga and meditation, that's all. So one, one of the other men, you know, he was flying in the in an aeroplane, and when he got down at an airport, somewhere he purchased a Krishna book, you know, and he was keeping it. So, and then he was traveling in a, bus vehicle. He had to cross some particular place and go. So, he was actually crossing through that area, to the jungle kind of place. Suddenly, you know, the vehicle collapsed and there was a problem. Then he searched for a place and he came to this cottage of this person. And he asked, you know, do you have anything? This fellow was eating all the roots and berries. This fellow asked, do you have any food to give me? He showed him Kandamul. No? So, he gave him only that he could offer. Anyway, that man was too hungry, he ate something, you know. And then he spent that night. So next day before going, he wanted to gift him something, so he gave him Krishna book. And he gave him Krishna book and he went, proceeded. And this fellow, somehow he was inspired to read that book. When he read it, it was like an eye-opener for him. Then he left all his yogi business and came and joined his contemplation. After that, you see. So how the Lord will come, that's why it is said, by Krishna you get Guru. By Guru you get Krishna. Like cyclic, huh? Right. So yeah, all we need is to be sincere. So all this knowledge we are accumulating week after week, month after month, year after year, is to actually convince us to become sincere in our spiritual endeavors. Because there is a type of there are always different types of weaknesses. Like, you know, in Bhagavad Gita there are three verses which talk about austerity of the body, speech and mind. I really love these verses the most. Why? Because they give you practical tips on how to improve your sincerity. Like for example, it talks about, when it talks about the body, it says, Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna, Pujanam, it says. So you should do puja or worship of the Lord. Deva, Dvija means the Brahmanas. Deva, Dvija, Guru, special master, and Prajna are the elders like mother, father and other elders. So what should you do with them? You should pujanam, you should worship them. And then it says shaucham. Shaucham means one should be externally, internally clean. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna, pujanam, shaucham, arjavam means simplicity. One should be simple in dealings purposes. One should not complicate one's life by having duplicitous dealings. So arjava means simplicity of heart. Yeah. Arjava. Actually here simplicity is not that. Simplicity here means for the body, no? So wearing simple dress, eating simple food. Simplicity with respect to the body. Shaucham arjavam. And then he says, what he says? Brahmacharya mahimsa acha shariram shariram tapavuchyate, he says. So then brahmacharya, following celibacy, and ahimsa means not causing any injury to other living beings. Yeah. Not harming any living being. Sarve janaha sikhino bhavantu. Always wishing well for every other living being. So this is what? This is austerity of the body. Then he talks about austerity of the speech. Anudveka karam vakyam. Always speak in a way that is not agitating to others' minds. Anudveka karam vakyam. Satyam. Speak the truth. Never tell lies, because if you tell one lie, you have to tell a second one to compensate for the first one. Then a third one and fourth one subsequently, and your mind will be reeling. Yeah? Better speak the satyam. He says, anudveka karam bhakyam satyam priya hitam cha yat. Priya means speak in a pleasing manner. Hitam means always speak something that will be beneficial to others. Don't speak anything that is useless. Don't talk prajalpa, he says. Then he says, Swadhyaya Vyasanam Chaiva. vanmayam tapavuchyate. Swadhyaya, that means one should not speak anything and everything that comes to mouth, but one should speak on the basis of scriptures. We should always cite from the scripture anything we say to others. Then it becomes authentic and it is also God's word. So it purifies both the parties, one who is speaking, one who is hearing, both. And then third he says, manaprasada samyatvam. Manaprasada means satisfaction of the mind. So one's mind should be peaceful. Like I was remembering, this Rukmini, she was thinking, she wrote a nice letter and she was wondering who can pass it to Krishna. At the time she found out a Brahmana. Because the Brahmana, that Brahmana, his mind was always satisfied. His mind was very peaceful and his senses were under control. And he was having no hankering in his heart for any more wealth or any more possession or position or name or fame or anything like that. And Rukmini thought, this is the best person, you know, to whom I can entrust this job. Why? Because if you give a job to someone who is having hankering for things, he may take the letter and go and get stuck up somewhere in between. Isn't it? Because, you see, Hanuman was so controlled in his senses when he was going, when that golden mountain said, you know, rest on me for a while, you know. He just touched and then went ahead, you know. So you need a person who is manaprasada, satisfied in the mind, completely. Samyatvam. What is samyatvam? Prabhupada says, samyatvam, he also says it's simplicity. He says that. Simplicity, being without duplicity. Yeah, towards others, mind. Duplicity means, you know, pulling somebody's leg or backbiting, sweet talking on the face and backbiting on the back. All that is duplicity. Honey tongue with a heart of gall. All that is duplicity. And also harboring some malice or making some dangerous plans to create some nuisance to others. All that is duplicity. So manaprasada samyatvam maunam. Silence. That means speaking only on Krishna, not talking anything material. Maunam, atma vinigraha, complete self-control of the mind. This atma vinigraha is a word, it's all encompassing word. Vachavegam, manasavegam, krodhavegam, jihvavegam, udharavegam, prasthavegam, everything is included. It's a very nice word. Actually, we call it a self-management. When we say atma vinigraha is actually self-management. Even controlling the mind, controlling tongue, everything is included in that one word. And then manaprasada samyatvam, maunam atma vinigraha. And then bhava samshuddhir ityeta tapa manasamuchyate. Bhava samshuddhir means purification of one's existence. That means we should be clean in financial dealings also, Prabhupada says. We should be clean in financial dealings. We should not take a debt and not give it back. Or we should not loot someone else's property. Or one should not do corruption. This is with respect to financial dealings. And also, when we talk about bhava samshuddhir in the mind, Prabhupada explains it in the abhayam sattva samshuddhir, same thing. Purification of one's existence is done by one should treat other men's wives as mothers, then the mind will be clean by such a thinking. Other people's property to be garbage, one should not take them. And one should also purify the mind by chanting of the holy name. And we can purify our existence by also performing all the 40 sanskaras. Beginning from the garbhadhan sanskar gradually. These are all for purification, purificatory sanskaras. Bhava samshuddhir. Tapamana samshuddhir. Mind should be kept, Prabhupada says, such a mind can be kept bhava samshuddhir. You know, when you detach the mind from sense gratification, then the mind is pure. You attach the mind to sense gratification, finished. Mind becomes totally corrupt. Polluted. So we have to detach the mind from sense gratification, he says. And the mind should be trained to always think of the welfare of others. Always keep thinking, how I can do good to others? How I can benefit? Like that. Such a mind becomes extremely optimistic and extremely positive. It's a matter of habit. We have to cultivate that habit. Again and again and again. Bhava samshuddhir. So these are all practical tips that Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita to become sincere. In our mind, in our part, in our words, and in our body. Very practical tips. Very down-to-earth principles are given. So we can see ourselves. Then when you are sincere, then the super soul will, the benefit from the super soul will be very great. then we become sincere. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Yes, come. Well, yeah. Okay. Somebody can play good mridangam 1-2 step. Anybody knows? He's not here, I think. Within.